We're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 19, verse number 186-187. This is a very beautiful verse about the various interactions one has with the Lord. Hasya adbhuta vira karuna raudra bibatsa bhaya panchavida bhakti gauna saptarasa haya. Anyone? Hasya adbhuta vira karuna.
Hasya adbhuta vira karuna.
Raudra bibatsa bhaya.
Raudra bibatsa bhaya.
Pancha vidha bhakti gauna.
Pancha vidha bhakti gauna.
Sapta rasa haya.
Sapta rasa haya.
Hasya adbhuta vira karuna.
Hasya adbhuta vira karuna.
Raudra bibatsa bhaya. Panchavida bhakti gauna saptarasa haya. Hasya adbhuta vira karuna rudra vibhatsa bhaya. Panchavida bhakti gauna saptarasa haya. Hasya adbhuta vira karuna raudra vibhatsa bhaya.
Panchavida bhakti gauna sapta rasa haya.
Panchavida bhakti gauna sapta rasa haya. Ladies. Okay. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. In addition to the five direct mellows, there are seven indirect mellows known as laughter, wonder, chivalry, compassion, anger, disaster, and fear. Purport. Shantarasa is described as follows in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Vakshyamanair vibhavadyai shaminam swadhyatam gataha Sthyai shanti rathir dhirai shanta bhakti rasasmrita prayaha sva sukha jatyam sukham syadatra yoginam kintvatma saukhyam aganam ganam tvisham mayam sukham tatrapisha swarupanu bhavasyai voruhetuta dasadi vanmanojnatva Leeladerna tatha matha. When Shantarati, neutral attraction, exists continuously and is mixed with ecstatic emotion, and when the devotee relishes that neutral position, it is called Shanta Bhakti Rasa. Shanta Bhakti Rasa devotees generally relish the impersonal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since their taste of transcendental bliss is incomplete, it is called agana, or not concentrated. A comparison is made between ordinary milk and concentrated milk. When the same devotee goes beyond the impersonal and tastes the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form as Satchidananda Vigraha, his transcendental blissful body, complete in knowledge and eternity, the taste is called concentrated or ghana, transcendental bliss. Sometimes the devotees in Shantarasa relish transcendental bliss after meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but this is not comparable to the transcendental bliss relished by the devotees situated in Dasya Rasa, the transcendental mellow in which one renders service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dasya Rasa or Dasya Bhakti Rasa is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. Atmochittair vibhavadyai prithir aswadaniyatam nita chetasi bhaktanam priti bhakti raso mata अनुग्रह्यास्य दासत्वात् लाल्यत्वादपि अयम् द्विधा विद्यते संभ्रम प्रीतो गौरव प्रीत इत्यपि. When according to his desires the living entity develops love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this beginning stage of love is called Dasya Bhakti Rasa. Dasya Bhakti Rasa is divided into two categories called Sambrahma Dasya and Gaurava Dasya. In Sambrahma Dasya, the devotee renders respectful service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the more advanced Gaurava Dasya, his service takes the form of giving protection to the Lord. Sakya Bhakti Rasa is described as follows in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sthyayi bhavo vibhavadyai sakhyam atmochitairiha nitaschitte satam pumstim rasapriyanudiryate. According to one's original consciousness, ecstatic emotions may be exhibited as continuously existing in fraternity. When this stage of Krishna consciousness is mature, it is called Preyo Rasa or Sakya Bhakti Rasa. Vatsalya Bhakti Rasa is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. Vibhavadyaistu Vatsalyam Sthyayi Pushtim Upagatah Esha Vatsalanam Matra Prokto Bhakti Raso Budhai. When eternally existing love of Godhead transforms into parental love and is mixed with corresponding emotions, that stage of spiritual existence is described by learned devotees as Vatsalya Bhakti Rasa. Madhura Bhakti Rasa is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. Atmo chitair vibhavadyai pushtim nita satamridi madhurakhyo bhaved bhakti raso sau madhurarati. If in accordance with one's own natural development in Krishna consciousness, one's attraction leans toward conjugal love within the heart, that is called attachment in conjugal love or Madhura Rasa. Similarly, Hasya, Adbhuta, Veera, Karuna, Raudra, Bhaya and Bibhatsa, the seven indirect mellows are explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The Hasya Bhakti Rasa, laughing devotion, is explained as follows. Vakshyamanai vibhavadyai pushtim hasa ratirgata Hasya Bhakti Raso nama budairesha nigadyate. When through devotional service a laughing attachment to Krishna is developed, it is called Hasya Bhakti Rasa by learned scholars. Similarly, Adbhuta Rasa is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Atmachittair vibhavadyai swadhyatam bhakta chetasi savismaya ratirnita adbhuta bhakti raso bhavet. When one's general attachment is fixed in wonder, it is called Adbhuta Bhakti Rasa. Veera Bhakti Rasa is described as follows. Saivotsaha ratisthai vibhavadyai nijochitah aniyamana swadhyatvam veera bhakti raso bhavet yuddhadana dayadharmaish chaturdha veera uchyate. When attachment to Krishna mixes with the bellicose tendency, the charitable tendency, or the merciful tendency in the heart of the devotee, such devotion is called Veera Bhakti Rasa. Karuna Bhakti Rasa is described as follows. Atmo chitair vibhavadyair nita pushtim satamridi bhavechokaratir bhakti rasohi karunadiha. When one's devotional attitude and attachment for Krishna is mixed with lamentation, it is called Karuna Bhakti Rasa. Similarly, Raudra Bhakti Rasa is described as follows. Nita krodha rati pushtim vibhavadyair nijochitai vridhi bhakta janasyasau Raudra Bhakti Raso bhavet. When devotion is mixed with anger in the heart of the devotee, the taste is called Raudra Bhakti Rasa. Bhayanak Bhakti Rasa is described as follows. Vakshyamanair vibhavadyai पुष्टिं भयरतिर्गता भयानकोभिदो भक्ति रसो धीरैरुदीर्यते. When devotion is mixed with fear, it is called Bhayanaka Bhakti Rasa. Bibhatsa Bhakti Rasa is described as follows. Pushtim nija vibhavadyair jugupsarati ragata asau bhakti raso dhirair bibhatsakhya itiryate. When one's attachment for Krishna develops in an abominable way and the devotee enjoys it, that is called Bibhatsa Bhakti Rasa. In conclusion, when a pure devotee is situated in any of the five principal mellows, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya or Madhura, and that mellow is mixed with one or more of the seven indirect bhakti rasas, Hasya, Adbhuta, Veera, Karuna, Raudra, Bhayanaka or Bibhatsa, the indirect mellows become prominent. This is the beautiful long purport by Srila Prabhupada. Homajnanti Miranda Sanjana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are continuing to read about the discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami. This verse, Hasya Adbhuta Veera Karuna Raudra Bibhatsa Bhaya Panchavida Bhakti Gona Saptarasahaya. This particular verse forms the basis of the fourth section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is the Northern Ocean, which includes description of secondary mellows of devotion. So there are five primary mellows of devotion and seven secondary mellows of devotion. The seven secondary mellows of devotion are described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the Northern Ocean. Anyone knows what those seven are? They are listed here. What are those seven? Hasya means? Laughter. Adbhuta. Adbhuta means to wonder. Veera. Veera means? Chivalry. Karuna. Karuna means? Lamentation, ecstatic feeling, compassion. Okay. Raudra. Raudra means anger. Bibhatsa. Bibhatsa means disaster. Disgust. Disgust. And bhaya. Bhaya means fear. So what I'd like to do today is go through how these are described by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu with examples, and then if time permits give a quick synopsis of why is this subject matter presented to us. Last time I spoke, one of the devotees asked, why do we have to hear this different manners? It's so technical, it's very difficult to grasp. So why is it even mentioned? How does it benefit us? So I will make an attempt to answer that question. So then very quickly, going through the seven rasas, we start with the Hasya Rasa. And Hasya Rasa is of two types. One where Krishna is the cause of Hasya. And second is where somebody other than Krishna is the cause of Hasya. However, please understand that any rasa or any transcendental mellow is considered to be a rasa only and only if it is in relation with Krishna and it is favorable to Krishna. These two. So it has to be in relation with Krishna and it has to be favorable to Krishna. So Hasya Rasa, where Krishna is the cause. The example is given that once Mother Yashoda was busy working, making, cooking something for Krishna, and suddenly old sannyasi came at the door, and Mother Yashoda went and opened the door and to receive the sannyasi. And Krishna suddenly, because he got little upset that, you know, this is wrong timing, the sannyasi has come, he started making fun of the sannyasi. And when he started to make fun of the sannyasi, and he started to act in a, you know, like a child would act, mimicking, you know, the sannyasi. So looking at Krishna, the sannyasi started to laugh. So he experienced this rasa of laughter. This is how Krishna causes the rasa of laughter. How others cause the rasa of laughter? Others meaning Krishna's devotee cause the rasa of laughter. So sometimes when Krishna goes out with the gopas, there is a bitter fruit. It is called the bilva fruit. It's bitter, but it looks very similar to a sticky sugar candy. You know sugar candy? Sticky, yeah? So it looks like a sticky sugar candy. So sometimes Madhu Mangala, who is always very, he likes to hoard his prasadam, keep it to himself, he sometimes cheats Krishna. And instead of giving him the sugar candy, he gives him this bitter fruit. And he says, taste it. It's amazing. It's wonderful. You will enjoy it. And Krishna eats it. And as soon as he tastes it, Krishna's face becomes very, you know, he's very upset, or he's very unhappy tasting that bitter fruit. He's been cheated. And looking at that, all the other gopas, they start laughing. They start laughing at Krishna. So here, the Hasya Rati is created because of that Madhu Mangala who gave Krishna that bitter fruit. So the cause of Hasya here is somebody other than Krishna. Whereas in the case of the mendicant, the sannyasi, the cause of Hasya was Krishna himself making these funny gestures in front of the sannyasi. So these are the two types of Hasya rasas. Adbhuta rasa means wonder or astonishment. And the astonishment rasa is also of two types. One is direct, another is indirect. And actually there are some subdivisions within these as well, which I will not be touching on. So the direct adbhuta rasa or shakshat adbhuta rasa is when, for instance, Narad Muni, when he went to Dwarka, he saw that Krishna was busy. So he was wondering, how come Krishna is so busy with his family? And as he was wondering that, he just loitered around. He said, let him finish his chores and then I will speak to him. And as he loitered around, he saw that in the 16,108 palaces that Krishna had for all his queens, Krishna was personally present in each one of those palaces. Personally present. And seeing this, how can Krishna be personally present in all the palaces? And he's busy with his household life and all of those. Seeing that, Narad Muni was astonished. He was wondering, how is it possible? So that is the experience of Adbhuta Rasa directly. Indirectly is through Anuman. Indirectly means Anumita. Anumita means to infer that there must be, Krishna must be the cause. And the example given by Rupa Goswami is when the forest fire, when Krishna protected the gopas from the forest fire, the gopas, they were, they had fainted. And Krishna swallowed the forest fire and the forest was saved. And when the gopas, they awoke, they came back to their senses. They looked around and they saw the fire is gone. And Krishna was sitting happily. So they inferred through logic that Krishna must have swallowed the fire. Somehow he must have, you know, put out the fire. But how could Krishna do this? So they were struck with wonder. How could Krishna, who is their friend, you know, extinguish this huge forest fire? So that was the Adbhuta Rasa, which was indirect Anumita Adbhuta Rasa. The third Gauna Rasa is Veera Rasa, heroism or chivalry. This is of four types, and even in the verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes here towards the end, you know, Yuddha Dana Daya Dharma Ishchaturdha Veera Uchyate. So Srila Prabhupada has given everything that we are discussing. Srila Prabhupada has given the appropriate sections of, he's quoted the appropriate sections of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So Veera Rasa is of four types: Yuddha Veera, Dana Veera, Daya Veera, and Dharma Veera. Yuddha Veera means to fight with Krishna for his pleasure. So sometimes Shridama, who is one of Krishna's Priya Narma Sakha, he challenges Krishna. He says, you think that you are the most powerful here? You think you are the strongest? You can't beat me. And then if Krishna is not willing to fight, he will really poke fun at Krishna. He will really instigate Krishna to fight. So this is ultimately to give Krishna pleasure. And Krishna even gets defeated by his sakha. So this is called Yuddha or fighting Veera. Veera means the chivalry of fighting. The second type is called as Dana Veera. Dana Veera means to give everything to Krishna. The example is given of Bali Maharaj, who experienced this particular kind of rasa, where he gave everything that he possessed to Krishna. Can you think of another personality who gave everything to Krishna? Everything, absolutely. Amarish Maharaj, yes. But the example that is given by Rupa Goswami is Yudhishthir Maharaj. Yudhishthir Maharaj, after he would perform the yajnas, he would give gifts to the brahmanas. And then he would say, but for Krishna he would give everything, including his very self. And then he would curse himself, he would feel dejected. My dear Lord, I do not have anything else left to give you. I have given you everything, even myself. But I want to give you something more. Even after giving everything, Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, I want to give you something more. So this feeling is called Dana Veera. And then the third category of chivalry is Daya Veera. Daya means mercy or compassion. This is a sort of an indirect rasa. And the example that Sri Rupa Goswami gives is of King Mayura Dhvaja. King Mayura Dhvaja, he was a great charitable, compassionate king. He would exhibit a lot of compassion to his people. And one day, Krishna, in the disguise of a Brahmana, he appeared in front of the king and he asked the king to cut himself into two. But the king would not cut himself into two. He said that your wife and your children should cut yourself into half and you should give me the half. And being greatly compassionate to this Brahmana, Krishna is disguised as Brahmana, being compassionate to that Brahmana, the king agreed to be cut into two and give himself his half to that Brahmana in the form of Krishna, or rather Krishna in the form of Brahmana. So that example is given of Mayura Dvaja, where compassion is exhibited towards Krishna in chivalry. Why chivalry? See, Mother Yashoda also is compassionate, but that compassion is different. That compassion is out of care and love for Krishna. Here the compassion is out of dainya, out of pity, out of, and here there is chivalry. Like the king here is feeling, yes, I can do it. You know, there is a feeling, Kshatriya spirit. So Veera Rasa is generally exhibited by Kshatriyas. And the final type is Dharma Veera. Dharma Veera means performance of acts of Dharma for the pleasure of Krishna. And this was also done by, any example? Yudhishthir Maharaj. He performed, Srila Prabhupada mentions in Nectar of Devotion. By the way, all the examples I'm giving you are mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion by Srila Prabhupada. Oh, everything that I'm saying. So, Srila Prabhupada gives this example that Prabhupada says, Yudhishthira Maharaj performed so many yajnas, but he performed all these yajnas for simply to satisfy Krishna. All the acts of dharma were performed for satisfaction of Krishna. Similarly, Yamaraj is another example of Dharma Veera, who gives, you know, who performs the acts of dharma because he is appointed by the Lord. Karuna has a rasa in itself, a gauna rasa, compassion in itself. That is of three types. First, Krishna is the object of karuna. Second, the associates of Krishna are the object of karuna. And thirdly, the relatives of the associates of Krishna are the object. Krishna is the object, the associates are the object, and the relatives of the associates of Krishna are the object. So where Krishna himself is the object of compassion is where Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, is seeing Krishna in the waters of Yamuna, you know, on the hoods of Kaliya. Immediately, she is overpowered by compassion. Oh, my dear child, he is simply a little boy. What has he gotten himself into? So she is extremely compassionate. So this compassion has arisen directly because of Krishna. Compassion that arises due to the associates of Krishna. And the example that is given is when the queens of Dwarka were being harassed or attacked by Sankhasura. That time Balram, Lord Balabhadra, he became extremely compassionate towards the situation by seeing the queens of Dwarka being attacked by Sankhasura. So the compassion was, the cause of the compassion was the associates of Krishna, the queens of Dwarka. And the third is where the relatives of the associates of the Lord, they cause this compassion. And the example that is given is that of Nakula's younger brother, Sahadev. Sahadev, he was once, when Krishna had visited Hastinapur, Sahadev, after Krishna had left, Sahadev looked at the footprints of Krishna. And simply by looking at the footprints, which are, you know, illuminating, beautiful footprints of Krishna, simply by looking at the footprints of Krishna, Sahadev started crying. And in crying, he said, "Oh, my dear mother, Madri, My dear father Pandu, where are you? Why are you not here to behold this beautiful sight of the footprints of the Lord? So, Sahadeva exhibited compassion. The cause of the compassion was his relatives, but it was in relation to Krishna. So sometimes this third degree of compassion is also exhibited. So Krishna himself is the cause of compassion, his associates, and even the relatives of his associates are the cause of compassion. Is everyone still with me? Yes. The final three are Raudra, anger, the rasa of anger. The rasa of anger is also divided into three types. Where Krishna is the object of anger, Krishna's well-wishers are the object of anger, and the enemies of Krishna are the object of anger. How is Krishna the object of anger? When the elderly gopis, they see that Krishna is behaving in a certain way which is unfit for a child to behave, they become angry with him. Krishna, you shouldn't behave like this. So there Krishna himself is the cause of anger. But sometimes Krishna's well-wishers can also be the cause of anger. The example is given that when Krishna, he was during the Damodar Leela, when he was tied to the Ulukhala. What do you call it? Ulukhala? The grinding mortar. Yes. When Krishna was tied to the grinding mortar, and then Krishna, you know, pushed himself through the two Arjuna trees, Tamal Arjuna trees. The trees fell, and of course Krishna didn't get even a scratch. But immediately as the trees fell, Rohini started chastising Yashoda, saying, she became very angry on Yashoda. She said, you are teaching your son, you know, he's doing mischief, and you're teaching him a good lesson, which is fine. But you are completely careless in the matter of protecting him. How come you can let this little child, look, he's just, you know, loitering in between these trees? What if the trees would have fallen on him? Did you not realize the trees are there and they are falling? So this way, you know, she was chastising. So the cause of anger was Krishna's well-wisher, Mother Yashoda. So where the cause of anger is the well-wisher of Krishna, then that is the second kind of Raudra. The third kind of Raudra, the third kind of cause of anger is the enemies of the Lord. So when, for instance, Shishupal was making insults on the Lord, when Shishupal was saying so many insulting words to the Lord, the Pandavas could not bear it. They became extremely angry on Shishupal. So here the anger, the cause of anger was the enemies of Krishna. So these are the three main categories. Again, there are many, many subcategories. And this subject matter can go on. And each one of the examples that we are quoting, we can speak about that whole pastime. So the subject matter is very, very relishable. Then we have the bibhatsa or disgust. See, this particular kind of rasa is experienced due to two things. One is it is born out of discrimination. Bibhatsa can be born out of discrimination, or bibhatsa can be born out of direct experience. The example of bibhatsa born out of discrimination, the example is given that of the Atmaramas, or those who are, you know, self-realized. they discriminate and they can see that even the highest pleasure of the material world is simply disgusting compared to the lotus feet of the Lord. And that discrimination is the cause, vivekaja, it is said, which means discrimination is the cause. That discrimination is the cause of experiencing disgust. But it's in relation to Krishna, because it's ultimately saying the experience is that only Krishna can give ultimate happiness. And the second kind of disgust, the cause of it is directly being put in a situation which is extremely difficult and disgusting. That causes disgust. The example is given of a child in the womb. When the child is in the womb, we know in the fifth canto, there are beautiful prayers. The child in the womb is praying to Yamaraj, "My dear Lord, somehow or the other you put me in this situation, surrounded by so many worms and filthy, obnoxious smells. And I'm reminded of the Lord. Please, may I never forget him. Even after I am released from this womb, may I never forget him." So this is the living entity, because of directly being in a situation of disgust, experiencing that bibhatsa rasa directly. And finally we have bhaya or bhayanaka, fear. This is again of two types, where Krishna is the object of fear and where demons are the object of fear. So the example is given that where Krishna is the object of fear, we can say the example is that of Arjuna when he, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when he sees the Vishwarupa form, immediately his tone changes and he says, "My dear Lord, please forgive me. I addressed you as Sakha and I acted with you in many unkind ways. Please forgive me." So the fear is instigated by Krishna directly. Or even Kamsa experiencing fear of Krishna as death. And where demons are the object of fear, the example is given that on seeing the huge form of Keshi demon, Mother Yashoda became extremely, extremely afraid. She was extremely fearful by seeing the Keshi demon. So this way we understand that these seven Gauna rasas are subdivided into several different types. And each one of those types, I attempted to give a quick example. So the question might occur, why do we need to study or listen to or read this subject matter? So please tell me why. Anyone?
It gives remembrance of Krishna.
It gives remembrance of Krishna. Yes, that is correct. Anything else? Develop feelings for Krishna. Yes. So, Srila Prabhupada tells us in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purport to the third verse. It's a beautiful purport. Please read that purport. Third verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that ultimately every living entity in this world, what are they after? They are after. What is every living entity in this world after?
Happiness,
affection, love. And this happiness, affection and love can only be experienced when there is a relationship. So, if you see, the greatest atheists, I will not mention their names, but there are very prominent, great atheists, many of them are British. And one of the interviews with one of these very prominent atheists, he's even written books about God. It's kind of ironical for an atheist to write about God, but he's written books about God. And then he says, well, God is simply cold, which means there is God and he's all powerful, he's omniscient, and that's it. But there's nothing more. It's just cold. There is nothing, there's no activity there. And then he says, God is, he's simply a dictator. He just wants everyone to serve him. So how can any sane person surrender to such a God? How can there be such a God who's simply wanting everyone to serve him and who's just cold? He's just at the top and everyone is at the bottom and that's it. What kind of a God is that? So the fact is that that is incomplete understanding of God. Because God interacts and has relationship, spiritual relationship. And these spiritual relationship that God has, Krishna has, are at all levels. And in the level of Vatsalya, Madhura and even Sakya, God can even be controlled by his devotee. But because of limited understanding, you know, sometimes the atheists think that God is just a supreme dictator. Ultimately, every living entity needs to experience affection. And Srila Prabhupada says affection. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, if I read what he says, every living entity beginning with Brahma, the firstborn living being within the material world, down to the insignificant ant, desires to relish some sort of taste derived from sense perception. These sensual pleasures are technically called rasa. So everyone is after rasa. However, in the material world, the only rasas that exist are a reflection of the rasas of the spiritual world. The difference between the spiritual rasa and the material rasa is that the spiritual rasa keep increasing. They keep increasing and material rasa keep decreasing. You give any example. You give example of madhurya in the material world, example of vatsalya. You know, let's take vatsalya, the affection for a child that the mother has. As the child grows, what happens? And imagine the child becomes completely anti-parents. I don't want to see your face again, you know, the mother might say, when the child is behaving in a certain rude way. Because in material world, these rasas, they decrease. Because it's simply abhas. But in the spiritual world, the rasas increase manifold. And they never, there's no limit to how much the rasas increase. What I mean by that is the pleasure experienced by that rasa simply goes on increasing. And while that pleasure is increasing, newer and newer rasas continue to be experienced. So you can imagine, it's like, you know, we cannot, it's, imagine. So already there is a rasa, there is an interaction which has given pleasure, which keeps increasing without end. And there is continuous interaction, so there is more and more rasas, more and more pleasure. So there is no limit. Whereas in the material world, it's just the opposite. So that's the first point. The second important point to understand is that in the material world, rasas can only be experienced between jivas of the same variety or the same species. Srila Prabhupada says that in the purport, that only jivas of the same species, so humans can have a rasa, some sensible rasa with another human being. Now somebody might say, but you know, dog is considered to be man's best friend. So there is a rasa of sakya between raw dog and human. But there is limitation. The limitation is, you can't, for instance, you know, if you have a real human friend, you can share your thoughts with that person and expect the person to talk back to you and share your, you know, pleasure and pains. The dog is sort of mute in terms of human language. It is mute. Dog also barks, he also speaks, but it's not human, you know, so there is limitation to that sort of sakya. A real sensible sakya is only possible with another human. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada gives many examples. But you know, we can say, take any example, a bear with a bear, or a lion with a lion, or a ant with an ant. So the ant can only have a rasa with the ant. The ant cannot have the full experience of the rasas with another human. Right? So the rasas are only restricted within the same species. So first thing is, the rasas in the material world are decreasing. Second is, the rasas are only experienced between individual of the same species. So in the spiritual world, because everyone is of the same species, so the rasa is experienced between everyone and everyone. What do I mean by same species? Everyone is Sat Chit Ananda. Everyone is Sat Chit Ananda Rupa. So every living entity, whether the living entity is in the form of a tree or in form of a, even in form of a hill, for example, Govardhan Hill. So every living entity, even a rock, even the water, even the birds, the peacocks, the parrots, even the fluid of Krishna, everything is Chinmaya Swarupam. Everything is full of, made of the material of spirit. And hence, they are of the same category. And hence, there is a rasa interaction possible between these different individuals of the same category. Srila Prabhupada explains this. And finally, our entry into the spiritual world is only through experiencing rasa of the spiritual world in this world. And how does one experience rasa of the spiritual world in this world? How does one experience? Harinam Sankirtan. So, in its very fundamental sense, how does one experience rasa of the spiritual world in this world?
Devotional service.
In relationship to Krishna. But it is through sound vibration. Even the act of devotional service is instigated through sound vibration. Through the instruction of Shri Guru, through the instruction of Srila Prabhupada, the transformation of heart takes place through the Vani of Srila Prabhupada. So the recommendation is given after speaking the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukhdev Goswami speaks to Parikshit Maharaj towards the end, 12th canto, verse 40 of chapter 4. Parikshit Maharaj is asking, you have spoken the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, I understand it fully. And Shukdev Goswami is giving this recommendation for those who are bound in samsara. Samsara means cycle of birth and death. Samyak charati iti samsara. That which constantly goes on and on and on is called samsara. The recommendation of Shukdev Goswami, would you like to hear what his recommendation is? Yes. Recommendation of Shukdev Goswami is this to Parikshit Maharaj. For those who are desirous of getting out of this material cycle of birth and death. Samsara sindhum atidustaram uttitishro. Samsara sindhum means the sindhu, means the ocean of samsara. The samsara is compared to an ocean. Samsara sindhum atidustaram. Atidustaram means it's extremely difficult to cross over. Imagine we are in an ocean with no means, we only have our own self. Can we swim in an ocean and still survive? It's very difficult. It's nearly impossible. So, Shukdeva Goswami says, Samsara sindhum atidustaram. Uttitirsho. Uttitirsho means those who want to swim across. Those who are desirous to swim across. For them, this is the recommendation. Na anyaha plavaha. There is no other boat that they can find. I will give you the boat. The recommendation. There is no other boat. Na anyaha plavo bhagvataha purushottamasya. No other boat other than bhagvataha purushottamasya lila katharasa nishevanam. There is no other boat other than Purushottamasya Bhagavataha, the Lord Purushottam's Leela Katha Rasa Nishevanam. Nishevanam means to relish, to serve. Leela Katha Rasa. Leela Katha Rasa means the pastimes, Katha. Leela means pastimes, Katha means the discussions, rasa. The rasa that is produced by relishing and discussing the pastimes of Bhagavan Purushottam is the only boat. Na anyaha plava bhagvataha purushottamasya leela katha rasa nishevanam antarena. Other than that, there is no other boat. For what? For those who want to swim across. Uttitirsho samsara sindhum atidustaram. This sindhu of samsara is extremely difficult to cross, and the only plavaha, the only boat is bhagvataha purushottamasya leela katha rasa nishevanam. Pumso bhaved vividha dukha dava arditasya. Pumso bhaved vividha dukha dava arditasya. Those people who are extremely distressed by the forest fire of this world, for them this is the only means. This is the only way. So what is the only way? Leela katha rasa nishevana. This is the formula. Now, when one is chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra also, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in many places, many times, that ultimately one is praying for the Lord to engage in, so one is praying to Mother Hara to engage in the service of Father Krishna or Hari, right? So it is also constant engagement in the eternal service of the Lord. So the only way we experience rasa is through leela katha nishevanam. Leela katha rasa nishevanam. This is the formula that is given by Shukadeva Goswami. And when we continue doing that, we have this verse, Vishaya Vinivartante. You know that verse? Vishaya vinivartante niharasya dehinaha rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Param drishtva nivartate. Once we have the taste, the rasa, leela katha rasa. Once we have a taste for leela katha, then we will not come to the lower taste. In the material world, Srila Prabhupada explains, because the mukhya rasas don't exist, so the only rasas that exist are gauna rasas. Gauna rasas are these seven rasas. So the only thing that really exists in the material world is these seven things. What are these seven things? Laughter, wonder, heroism or fights, compassion, anger, disgust and fear. Sorry? Dasya, Sakya, no, Madhurya is also here. But Madhurya also love people, say, you know, Romeo and Juliet examples are there. Some love is there. But it is all abhas. It is all reducing. Right? Because it's reducing. So essentially, I gave you 4 points. Or possibly 5 points. So I'll summarize what I said. First thing to understand is that the rasa in the spiritual world is ever increasing, whereas the rasa in the material world is ever decreasing. Secondly, the rasa in the material world is only between, can sensibly had only between species of the same kind. In the spiritual world, the rasas exist between everyone, because everyone is eternal, Satchidananda Swarupa. Second, third is, in the material world, because the primary rasas, the primary five rasas are only abhas, so the only rasas that are prominent are the secondary rasas. So Srila Prabhupada says, in the material existence, I am reading from Srila Prabhupada's purport, in the material existence, the rasa is experienced in the perverted form, which is temporary, and thus the rasas of the material world are exhibited in the material form of raudra, anger and so on. So only the secondary rasas are exhibited, you know, to some degree. But the primary rasas almost don't exist. That's the third. The fourth thing is, the fifth thing is that the way to experience the rasa of the spiritual world is through Leela Katha Rasane Shevanam. That is the recommendation of Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. And if one relishes, one who is truly a relisher of that, we see that in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, verse 19, the rishis, when they are asking questions to Suta Goswami, Suta Goswami, they are fearing that Suta Goswami might give a very quick answer and stop. So they are saying this to Suta Goswami. They are saying, Vayam tu na vitrupyama. We are never satisfied. Uttama shloka vikrame. Yat shrunvatam rasajnanam rasajnanam. Those who can taste rasa, they are never satisfied by hearing enough about the wonderful activities of the Lord, of Uttama Shloka, who is glorified with the best shlokas or in the best way. Swadu, swadu, pade, pade. Every moment such a personality relishes. Every moment there is more and more relish, more and more relish. Because I said in the spiritual world, Srila Prabhupada tells us, the rasa is ever increasing. Yeah, so this is the reason why we understand what these rasas are. That spiritual life is not dry. And even when one achieves the goal, prayojana, it is not dry. One interacts with the Lord in several relationships, primary and secondary. And secondary relationships or rasas are only, they appear and disappear. Like Mother Yashoda, when she sees Krishna on the hoods of Kaliya, she becomes compassionate. And then, you know, that wave disappears, subsides. Because her primary, her constant rasa is that of Vatsalya or parental love. So, Srila Prabhupada, I will end with Srila Prabhupada's very beautiful sentence from the purport of that Srimad Bhagavatam verse 3. He says, the learned scholar seeks to relish the real rasa in the spiritual form. The learned scholar seeks to relish the real rasa in the spiritual form. So, the devotees of the Lord who really understand the truth, Satyam Param Dhimahi, who have understood the supreme truth, Satyam Param Dhimahi, they aim to relish the spiritual rasa, the real rasa in the spiritual form. Okay, thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions, comments, corrections? Yes.
You mentioned that the speciality of rasa should be in relation to Krishna, and it should be favorable to Krishna. Was that right? Yeah.
Hmm.
So I wonder about these two examples, Putana and Kamsa. What is speciality of their rasa? Because, well, at least I know Putana achieved a very high position in the spiritual world. And what about Kamsa? I forgot what position he achieved, but yeah, we know it was not favorable. And so could you maybe just touch that subject matter a little bit?
Yeah, so Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu answers both of the examples. He gives the example of Putana, and Putana, out of compassion that the Lord, or the grace that the Lord exhibits towards Putana, he gives Putana the position of a nurse in the spiritual world. And Kamsa has as its eternal position as the servant of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planet. Now, the rasa that Putana exhibited towards the Lord, the rasa that she experienced herself, was that of bhaya, primarily, that of fear. Because as soon as she realized that this child is not ordinary, even after expanding herself and being her real form, she could still not get rid of the child, even trying hard to get rid of him. And this is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam also in the verses, in the 10th canto, how she became extremely disturbed and afraid and scared. So, the interaction between Putana and Krishna, Putana's experience is the rasa of bhaya. However, Krishna's anugraha, grace towards Putana, is that he, although it was seemingly act which was against or with an intention to harm the Lord, Krishna, out of his anugraha, which means out of his compassion, mercy, he gave her or raised her to a position of a maid servant. So that is where anugraha shakti of the Lord comes into play, where the Lord mercifully reciprocates with Putana. Generally speaking, all the demons which were existing on the Bhuvrindavan, and in the spiritual world these demons don't exist, but in the material world all these demons who came, they were generally experiencing directly from Krishna, they were experiencing the Bhayanaka rasa. But they did not themselves project any favorable rasa towards Krishna, because all the rasas were unfavorable. But the Lord, out of his anugraha, gave them separate positions, separate for Shishupal, merging into Brahman, Kamsa back to his original position as a servant in Vaikuntha planet. So based on that mood, Krishna gave them a special position. But their mood was not favorable. So what we need to learn is how to act in our mood, in our interaction with Krishna. So we should not cultivate the mood that they cultivated, the demons cultivated, because that is not favorable. However, they experienced a rasa of bhaya themselves. By being inimical to Krishna, they were experiencing bhayanaka rasa. So there is a difference between the ashraya and the vishaya here. Ashraya means the person who experiences, and vishaya meaning the object of experience. So you have to look at it both ways. Ashraya being the demon and vishaya being Krishna, and ashraya being Krishna and vishaya being demon, then there are two different rasas. So we do not follow the footsteps of Kamsa Maharaj. Make sense what I'm saying? Yes, good. One more question. Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. You can answer your own question.
Thank you very much for that class, Prabhu. One thing is, what's the relationship between these rasas and emotions?
Emotions that are experienced are two types. The rasa consists of emotions. So basically, first of all, rasa consists of emotion. So emotions are ingredients of rasa. Rasa is the experience of bliss or ecstasy. But it constitutes emotions. Emotions are known as anubhava. And the anubhavas are acts which are voluntary, but then they are also supported by involuntary acts which are known as sattvika bhavas. I'll give you an example. If there is a child and the mother is looking at the child, and the child is on the edge of the bed and the child is trying to reach out to the mother, the mother experiences Vatsalya Rati, which means the affection of parental love. This Vatsalya Rati is her Sthyayi Bhava, is constant. She is constantly experiencing the same Vatsalya. That gives rise to the primary emotion or Anubhava of her hugging, wanting to hug the child. So she is wanting to now hug the child. And that act of, if you continue to follow me, you'll understand. So that act of wanting to hug the child voluntarily is the anubhava. Okay, so sthyayi bhava, vatsalya, anubhava, wanting to hug the child. And then as she is trying to hug the child, go and grab the child, just at that moment the child is about to fall off the cot. At that very moment she gets stunned. And that is like a sattvika abhas. By the way, I'm giving a mundane example. So all these are abhas. They are all reflection. They are not true bhava. True bhava is only in relation to Krishna. True rasa is only in relation to Krishna. But this is just for our understanding. So the sattvika abhas happens where she gets stunned. Oh, you know, he's going to fall. So that is sattvika. And then vyabhichari bhava takes over, where the vyabhichari bhava is to go and completely sort of quickly grab him. It is protect him. You know, so the vyabhichari bhava is, oh my child, poor child. You know, that compassion, overwhelming compassion creeps in. So that overwhelming compassion that creeps in is the vyabhichari bhava. And sattvika bhava is the stunning of the mother. The feeling of loving the child, wanting to love the child, is the anubhava. The sthyayi bhava is her constant parental mood. And the vibhava is the constituents that make up that situation. What are the constituents? the bed or the cot, the child, the smile of the child, the mother herself, all this is vibhava. So these five, vibhava, sthayi bhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, and vyabhichari bhava, when you combine all these, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is rasa samagri, ingredients of rasa. When you combine all these, then you get rasa. And that rasa is of five primary or mukhya kinds and seven gauna kinds. Does that answer your question?
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for your excellent answer. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I'm very grateful. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki jai.
Grace Kartik Chandra Prabhu ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Just to make yesterday's announcements, today's announced for the yesterday. In Radha's boutique, we have distributed 5 books for the amount of 94 Lakshmi points. In Closet Krishna, we have distributed 12 medium books for the amount of 233 Lakshmi points. In Govinda's restaurant, we have served 289 spirit souls and distributed prasadam for the amount of 2,449.69 Lakshmi points. And yesterday was the first day of Sankirtan Marathon, and we had 4 devotees who have submitted this course. And the first is Bhakta Dimitri, has distributed 12 medium books, 2 maha big books for the amount of 21 Lakshmi points and 10 book points. Pranad Das has distributed 8 small books, 16 medium books, 1 big book, 4 maha big books for the amount of 53 Lakshmi points and 19 book points. Bhakta Vayu has distributed 75 medium books, 3 big books, 8 maha big books for the amount of 134 Lakshmi points and 56.5 book points. And last one is Nam Sankirtan Das. Distributed 27 medium books, 4 big books and 39 maha big books for the amount of 214 Lakshmi points and 95.5 book points. So before we start saying the prayers, I'd like to ask someone to help serving prasadam on the ladies' side. And on the men's side, Jai, thank you. And if anyone would like to help out cleaning the temple afterwards, it would be much appreciated. Anyone? As well as their hearts. We need thank you so much. Anyone else maybe would like to help Sami Prabhu? Thank you very much, Manji. Okay, so just read the prayers. Deshi Shri Radha Londonishwara. Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. Shishi Gaur Nitai. And Giri Govardhan. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. With a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation, we request a causeless mercy upon us. For your pleasure, if you so desire, we wish to erect a holy place of your transcendental pastimes that will attract unlimited souls to your service and fulfill the vision of your pure devotee Srila Prabhupada. For London, please enable us to cooperate together in order to satisfy you in this way. We, your surrendered servants, humbly beg. New tempo for the Lordship's ki jai. Prasadam chain ki jai.
Vamsidari, 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 Adavairam.